My brothers and sisters in Christ, made saints triumphant in the blood of the Lamb. Who do you turn to for advice, for wisdom? A treasured friend, a parent or a grandparent, a respected boss, someone who has earned their gray hair by facing and overcoming in their moment the challenge that now is vexing you? What about Scripture? With all of the apps and the search engines available, do you suppose it might not be a bad place to turn early on in the process of the pursuit of wisdom? To see just what God has to say about the matter at hand. After all, conventional wisdom is something much disputed and in question in the weird, wild world that we're living in at the moment. I don't think we're always tuned into the simple reality that there really are only two sources of wisdom available to us. There is divine wisdom. There's human-oriented wisdom. You have, by contrast, the wisdom of the Creator God who is outside of time and who has viewed and experienced and witnessed all of human history. And you have the accumulated wisdom of human beings that have observed human nature and the ebb and flow of human life. And on the basis of averages and insights and what's happened before, can somewhat predict the way things will go. Sounds kind of like the weatherman, doesn't it? You do recognize that most of the forecasts today are based on models, computer models, of all of the things that happened the last 100 times these same ingredients came together. How accurate is the best of human wisdom? Case in point. Contrast just the differing wisdom from those two sources regarding beginnings and endings. Origins and end times. On one hand, you have the Heavenly Father, the Creator God, who lays out for us a profound and detailed account of how over 7 days, with great patience and careful development, laid layer of light and life over light and life until you have a finished product in all of its infinity, the amazing created universe, of which we've only really studied and understood just a fraction. He also tells us clearly about end things. He tells us as the Creator, the one in charge, He has the right and He will, at the time He determines, end all things by destroying and purifying every last thing that has been permeated with sin, and to create out of the ashes a perfect existence, a new heaven and a new earth, for those who have trusted in Him and relied on His Word to live with Him forever, the subject of last Sunday, Final Judgment Sunday. On the other hand, the currently apparent wisdom of humans, after thousands of years, offers us only continually shifting theories, none of which can be proven. Every new apparatus or mechanical insight that provides us a deeper look into the human body or the molecular structure of all things that exists, or whether it's a new telescope that gives us a view farther out into the infinite universe than we've ever had it before, only seems to raise more questions, create even more interesting theories about all kinds of things. And so we are encouraged by the best of human wisdom to carefully listen and choose for ourselves which things we will believe and which we will adopt as our belief system, even though there seem to be very nebulous and theoretic. And when you look at all of the insights and opinions of how things will go from here forward, whether it will be meteors crashing into the earth or whether it will be the worst of human nature playing itself out in deconstructing bombs or social plagues or whatever it might be, the theories of the endings of our race and our universe are also as diverse and uncertain and provable as all of the theories of beginnings certainly are. So what are you left with? All of the accumulated wisdom of human thought leads you to believe the most widely accepted wisdom of your time. That's the best it can possibly offer. To tell you to believe and trust the things that the majority of the people in the era of history in which you live, and perhaps the people who are surrounding you on a daily basis, that they also believe. And don't stray too far from the commonly accepted wisdom of the day, because either people will think you odd or you're simply proving yourself to be unenlightened, traveling in your own little path at a distance from everyone who is in the know and in the flow and truly has wisdom. Now, you and I could engage in a very fascinating and lengthy conversation about how many times and in how many ways following human-generated process of wisdom has led to dangerous, even disastrous results in history. We could talk about the way different generations have raised children. We could talk about medical procedures and processes, the understanding of the connection between soul and mind and body and the health of emotion and intellect. And we could talk about theories of government and warfare, and all of them would show failure after failure after failure of human understanding of the realities in which we live and the universe that surrounds us. But listen again to the words of the prophet Daniel here. Remember Daniel? You probably think of him most often as the man thrown into the den of lions for refusing to worship the king of his day. But if you learn more about Daniel on the pages of history and in the pages of Scripture, you will discover that he was a very insightful man, considered to be exceptionally wise, maybe perhaps even the very wisest of the men of his age. He was the advisor to a succession of world-dominating kings, the strongest empires of the day. Think about that for a moment. He was honored and respected, made a governor, made the first and most important advisor to more than one king of more than one successive conquering empire. When have you ever heard of something else like that in history? And what in his celebrated wisdom and insight of the world around him and human beings does Daniel point to as the true and only source of lasting wisdom? God and His Word. Listen again. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. He refers to the truly wise as those who trust God. True believers in the one true eternal God, the triune God, as we have come to know Him in His Word, as He has revealed Himself to every generation of human beings, are the truly wise, the only truly wise. Their trust of the righteousness of God and the gift of his righteousness in his Son, Jesus Christ, is the difference. Thank our Creator God today for every single one of those wise souls who have gone before us and have handed down to us the wisdom of salvation in Christ alone, through the Word of God alone. They shine on and on, as he tells us here, with the brightness of the heavens, for they reflect the Savior's light. And they shine that wisdom and that truth as a contrast against the dark clouds of unbelief and the swirl of sin and rebellion that surrounds us on a daily basis. As they built their hopes on God's Word, as they relied on righteousness as a gift from God is their only hope of salvation, as they built their lives and lived them by that same guidance. As you look back upon your life, who do you see? Who do you think of as particularly playing the role of leading you to that wisdom in Christ? Saving wisdom in the truth of God and His revealed Word. Was it your parents? Or perhaps a grandparent? Was it a neighbor child in childhood that urged you and invited you to come along to Sunday school? Was it somebody that worked near you? Or a new neighbor that moved in to the house next door? That was the one person that God used as His tool to bring you to a knowledge and understanding of true wisdom. But then think also of all the others in your life that have shared the wisdom that Daniel speaks of here. Scriptural wisdom in your life. Who has confronted you about your sins over time? Who are the believers who have influenced you? Who are the people who have prayed for you and pulled for you as you've struggled through your journey of temptation and decision and application of God's truth and wisdom to your life day after day? Who has encouraged you with gospel promises? Do you realize every single one of them was a saint? A saint triumphant? As I said earlier, the word saint in our world has been co-opted and corrupted in many different ways over the course of time. But the scriptures make it clear that the communion of saints is the collection of human souls that have been washed in the blood of Christ, that have been led by the Holy Spirit to make Christ their all in all, not just someday off in the future in the eternity of heaven, but in the day-by-day living of faith in life right now. Every one of their names is written in the book of life, Daniel tells us here. They are triumphant saints that acknowledge their Lord and thank Him in the way that they live day by day. In that cloud of witnesses, we certainly would include the people of the Scriptures themselves that God has recorded for us and revealed to us as examples to follow, both for good and for bad. Those men and women who were prophets and judges and leaders, those whom God used to speak words that were His inspired words that have been handed down to us. Those who failed and were forgiven. Those who live victoriously, at times against the tide of profound unbelief, but relied on the nourishment of God's Word and His encouragement through the Holy Spirit and sacrament as well. We certainly would include also the Christians of history that have had recorded for our benefit their statements or their writings of confessional truth that have shaped our thinking and our presentation of the gospel to the world. Those who also have written poetry and composed hymns and been inspired by the Spirit to other amazing works of art that bless our lives, that focus our attention on God and His promises, that bless our devotional time, our time of worship together, our study of God's Word. But we must also include in all of those pictures of the saints triumphant, people just like us, simple Christians living day-to-day lives, trusting and relying on God's promises as we make our decisions and carry on our commerce and determine the priorities of our lives, but are led by the Spirit over and over and over again to the font and the table and the foot of the lectern. Today we have acknowledged the brothers and sisters in Christ who have gone to glory in the last year, who not long ago walked amongst us and worshiped with us. Now this conversation comes back again full circle to the spiritual influences of our own lives who have set the tone for our walk of faith. Whether that influence has been profound and historical, or whether that influence has been nuanced in example, or even corrective moment, that we didn't even realize the value at the time, but that moment became a huge moment in our walking in the light of God's truth and the wisdom of His Word, it is good for us to not only think on those whose names were read, but on all of those throughout our lives. Maybe some who are present sitting with us today, who have been triumphant saints, who have lived their faith. What a joyous blessing it is, and intended to be, this remembering of the saints on this day of triumph, who are now in glory and have influenced our lives through their faithful living. But we would not be doing this day nor this lesson its due if we didn't for a moment also focus our attention on ourselves. How are we doing at carrying on this legacy of faith and wisdom that has been bequeathed to us by those who have gone before? What kind of examples are we to the people with whom we rub elbows on a daily basis? What kind of source of hope and life, forgiveness and wisdom are we to the people who cross our lives on a daily basis? People we maybe have never met before, people that we've known all of our lives, who are wandering and wondering if God has answers for them. How are we doing in this legacy of saints triumphant, in living before our children and the generations to come a true and honest faith guided by the spiritual wisdom we find in God's Word, so that the next generation can praise and thank God for the saints triumphant that we have been in living our faith in this world? Are we understanding our roles in glorifying God, and as Daniel puts it here, in our day, shining like the stars with the timeless truth of God? Not all human wisdom is bad or wrong. And there are so many places we go on a daily basis to get advice, to get answers, to solve the challenges of our day-to-day lives. And may God bless every one of those pursuits with His guidance to things that make our lives better, no matter how profound and important and how mundane and daily they need to be. But when it comes to any wisdom of true and lasting consequence, recognize the weight of the moment when you consider God's righteousness accumulated against the wisdom accumulated by humanity. The first leads to light, to life, to eternal welcome in the presence of the Lord. The second will ultimately always lead to failure, pain, and eternal destruction. What is right and righteous is alone our Savior God's to define and to bestow as His gifts, as the Spirit leads. Through Daniel today, he makes it very clear for you and me what wisdom is, what wisdom looks like, and how wisdom impacts the world. As we live out our lives, and long after we are gone, and on into eternity. God has given you the answers, not just today, but every day that you have opened His Word. He has blessed you with abundant examples of the saints who have lived the wisdom of the faith in the generations before you. And He has called you in these verses to understand their wisdom and their joy and their contented trust. He has defined for you what wisdom is and the potential impact your living in scriptural wisdom on a daily basis will have for those around you and those who follow you. Now, will you be wise enough to shine? Daniel and the Holy Spirit? Say absolutely yes. Amen. Please stand. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.